What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another good one for you today as we are joined by former NBA scout Brian Ohringer. He is here to help break down the coaching staff moves that were made, as well as the front office moves that were made by the Warriors last week. More specifically, the player development department that has been added. You guys know I'm excited about that. So be sure to stick around for a great talk, a lot of insight on what the job entails. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. We are brought to you by Indochino. Indochino is the world's most exciting made-to-measure menswear company. This week, my listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $369 at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. That's L-O-C-K-E-D-O-N. I wish I had that for my brother's wedding, man. I wore Indochino to my brother's wedding. Killed it. Killed it. If you're not getting Indochino like tailored suits, you guys, you're missing out. So anyways, Brian Ohringer, former NBA scout, here to talk about the front office moves and the coaching staff moves that were made by the Warriors, specifically the Warriors player development coaches that they added. Aaron Miles, former Santa Cruz Warriors coach. Theo Robertson was Detroit's assistant video coordinator. Luke Lukes was the two-way player development coach for Golden State last year. And then Seth Cooper was the assistant coach at University of Illinois. And then Kent Lacob promoted to director of player development. He was formerly the GM of the Santa Cruz Warriors. And the reason I'm having Brian on is to help break down what exactly it is that a player development coach does. I realized I was all excited about these moves and these hires, and I didn't really know exactly what the job entails. How is it different from being just a regular assistant coach? And Brian gives us great insight, breaks it all down. So here it is, my talk with former NBA scout Brian Ohringer.
And we are now joined by former NBA scout Brian Ohringer. He's here to help us kind of figure out what it is exactly that these coaches do. Brian, I've been harping on the Warriors a little bit because, you know, I don't think they've done a great job in player development over the last 5 years, but if the trade-off is championships over player development, you'll obviously take it. But they have made a move now and hired four different player development coaches and also promoted Kent Lacob, one of the sons of Joe Lacob, to director of player development. He's a former Santa Cruz Warriors GM. So they now have this group of player development coaches and a director, which I was happy about. But then I look at it and I kind of realized, I don't know what that actually means. What does that entail? And so I figured you could help shine some light on that. Once again, thank you for joining me, man. The last time you came on, it was a big hit. So you're my go-to from now on.
Appreciate you having me. Yeah. I mean, I'd say, player development is a crucial, huge role on an NBA staff. It's almost a little separate, actually, than your regular coaching staff, than Steve Kerr. And, you know, I think their job is more, to prepare the team for every single game, prepare them for what kind of plays they're going to go against, the tendencies of the opposing players. Whereas the player development staff is more working exclusively with the guys who were in their first couple years of their careers, and even sometimes with vets who really want to transform part of their game, with maybe a guy like Willie Cauley-Stein, who, you know, had a ton of potential coming into the league and hasn't really panned out yet, maybe with guys that are looking to add a three-point shot or expand their game in a certain way. So, you know, really those are the guys who, the coaches like Steve Kerr are probably working much more on the scheme, on what kind of adjustments they have to make for the team as a whole. Player development coaches are more the guys that are out there on a day-to-day basis with the guys 2 hours before practice, 2 hours after practice, sweating with them, putting them through the workouts, doing all that good stuff. So really essential, especially when you have as many kind of young and developing players as they do have on the roster right now.
Definitely. And so I like what you said also, because that's kind of where I figured it was a lot of it is the extra work that you do, because it doesn't seem as if they're just going to stop. Okay, well, let's cut into our game planning for tonight to do player development. So a lot of it is the extra work before and after practices.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I remember, like, from my, Wizards experience, usually for a couple hours before practice every single day, the head coach will meet with the assistant coaches, with the video guy, with watch film, you know, go over the previous night's game, go over the upcoming opponents, kind of look at the big picture type things. And then, you know, sometimes there's players there, obviously, a couple hours before practice who want to get a workout in, and good teams usually have that structured where every single day, basically, they have a routine of, you know, 2 hours, starting 2 hours before practice. Youngest guys are probably in first, but all the vets even come in, get their skill work in, get their ball handling in, all that good stuff. So, yeah, I tend to look at it as probably, you know, situations where, like I said, Kerr and his, you know, his main guys, oldest coaches, are up in the office watching film. And, you know, there's guys that have to be on the court and potentially even, you know, trying to put together 5-on-5 games for guys that are super young and not playing in games, guys that are coming back from injuries, things like that. You have to make sure they're taken care of and still getting really good skill work in as well.
Definitely. So the four that they added to the player development department are Aaron Miles. He was the former Santa Cruz Warriors coach. Theo Robertson was Detroit's assistant video coordinator. Luke Lukes, who was the two-way player development coach for Golden State last year. And then Seth Cooper, who was an assistant coach at University of Illinois. And they will all also be on the Warriors staff as well. So they'll not just be doing player development. That is obviously their focus, but they're going to be around for all the regular stuff as well, you'd assume, correct?
Yeah, you know, it's part of the staff. I would imagine, you know, during the actual games, maybe a couple of those guys will be behind the bench. A couple of them might be watching in the locker room or even available to work with players that are, maybe just occasionally with the G League team. They might go on assignment some. So they're kind of it's a jack of all trades type role. I would think with the size of their staff, you know, they're not going to be there for everything. They're not going to be behind the bench for everything. But they've certainly part of the staff, certainly travel with the team at times. Definitely work with Kerr and work with the coaches on what they're trying to accomplish, what kind of sets and plays they run, you know, what kind of system the Warriors believe in. So, yeah, you definitely want them to be fully integrated in things. But there is a little disconnect, like I said, between the main coaching staff usually and between the player development staff. Mm-hmm. It is more of a kind of specialized role. And, from the looks of it and from kind of what you described, it's usually guys that are a little younger, a little more mobile, able to potentially get out there and still run with guys in a way that Mike Brown probably can't. So, it's definitely a pretty specific role that sounds like, you know, you got some pretty good guys for.
Yeah, definitely. And I like that you brought up the potentially going on assignment, because I still expect Alan Smilagic to spend most of his time down in Santa Cruz. And some of the rookies might even, you know, you're hoping you get production out of Poole and Pascal, but if not, they'll probably be getting time down in Santa Cruz. So you would expect some of these coaches to go with them on some of these, you know, assignments, I guess you could say. Is it a situation where one or two players might be assigned to a certain coach? Like, I know Draymond early in his time, Luke Walton was his guy. Like, every day he was working with Luke Walton. Will it be something similar to that, or is it kind of just, you know, get help from whoever?
Yeah, I mean, usually I think the way staffs work is, you know, especially with, you know, whatever your roster, 13, 14-man roster, usually most of those guys are divvied up between the, you know, the three or four main assistant coaches will each kind of have their guy. But certainly the player development staff will also kind of have guys that they connect with more and, you know, be assigned to work mostly with, especially if they specialize in guard or in big player development. But, yeah, kind of like you touched on, you know, I would think Pascal Poole, the rookies, you know, the young guys, you know, it'll be really helpful, especially when they are assigned, to still have, you know, a coach maybe that does even, you know, go with them and provides them kind of live workouts, film development, you know, make sure they're up to date on all the Warriors set plays and kind of, you know, sticking with the main club mentally, you know, in the event that they do have to go back and forth some. So, yeah, I think you just kind of want to make sure it's not a disconnected environment where you're just kind of sending them down and then they're kind of floating on their own. You want them to still have that constant connection to the main team, feel like they're being, you know, worked out and worked with every single day. And by doing that, I think that's the best way you make sure guys continue to develop and stay locked in and feel like they're a part of the team.
Kent Lacob just was promoted to director of player development. And I know when anyone hears, you know, the owner's son getting a front office job or what have you, it, you know, maybe some eyes might roll, which I understand completely. But he also, I think he got his foot in the door because of being the owner's son. He's been with Santa Cruz for the last 3 or 4 years, I believe, learning to work in the front office. But I wanted to know, as far as being the director of player development, you know, I'm sure it entails kind of picking things that a player should work on, et cetera. But what else might it entail? And then how can you measure a player's development if they're potentially not getting any time? These are young players that aren't guaranteed to be getting 20 minutes a game. So can it be hard to really know when a player's been developing or not, if they're not playing?
Yeah, I mean, it can definitely be hard. You know, it's there's a huge difference between going against cones and a pretty empty basketball court and, you know, making your shots in that scenario and then translating it to games. You know, it's like you saw a guy like Bruno Caboclo, you know, be in Toronto for so long, and he would always look good in summer league and always, you know, apparently look good in workouts, but they just could never really find him, you know, minutes with the real team. And he kind of just, you know, was in the G League for so long that I think he kind of eventually just spaced out mentally and kind of lost his confidence. And, you know, it was good to see him get an opportunity in Memphis to actually play last season. And he looked pretty good, to be honest with you. So, yeah, you know, I think it is really hard. And even like you alluded to, when you have such a great team, you know, a dynasty kind of building for the last few years, it's hard to develop young guys. Even like, you know, Quinn Cook, I think sometimes, you know, if he was as good as Van Fleet in the finals, you guys probably win it, you know. But he, you know, didn't really get that a ton of minutes with the regular team and playing in Steph and those guys' shadow. And, you know, now with the Lakers, does he maybe get more of an opportunity at that point guard spot and maybe really develop? He could, you know. So, yeah, it's definitely hard to measure when, you know, you don't have the minutes in real games to give guys. But, you know, I think the Warriors will have some minutes, you know, especially without Clay to start the season to give some of those younger players. And hopefully you can measure it that way. But then, you know, if you can't, then, yeah, you just have to make sure they're getting some good 5-on-5 action. I think that's why, you know, you see so many player development coaches hired, you know, especially that have playing experience, because you do want guys that can give them kind of simulated 5-on-5 games. You know, obviously when Steph and Draymond and those guys rack up high, be able to do anything basically in practice. So that's when you really do need, you know, coaches almost to be a practice squad and be able to, you know, simulate 5-on-5 game speed action for the young guys. So yeah, it's a balance as far as Lacob's son. I mean, yeah, I don't know anything about him. I will just say, you know, sometimes I think that director of player development title, you know, especially if it's in the family name a little bit, can be a bit of a misnomer. You know, I'd say those guys that are player development coaches are probably doing a lot more of the hands-on work, I would think, and, you know, in terms of actually sweat equity and being out there, you know, really developing the players. I would think that falls much more on the, you know, the four guys that you mentioned, and that those are kind of the more important hires from an everyday standpoint.
I like that you brought up Bruno Caboclo. He was one of those guys that just physically, you just imagine that it has to work out at a certain point, you know, the wingspan, the size, all of that. It has been nice to see him develop a little bit. I wanted to ask you about, it's a cliche, and I wonder if you believe it or not, or it's just something, an excuse that some people make, I guess, that it takes longer for bigs to develop. Is that something that you believe in, or is it just a nice basketball cliche?
It's a little, probably a little cliche, but it's like they say, you know, I think every cliche maybe has a little basis in reality. I don't know if it's about kind of the length of time or even just, you know, one thing that's definitely clear is I think a lot of bigs today, you know, we're kind of forced into playing basketball or kind of, you know, oh, you're 7 foot, so you better go out and play basketball. Even if you don't love it, you better, you know, play inside and bang and dunk. Whereas, you know, some of them just want to shoot the ball or don't necessarily love to play inside and roll hard and, you know, get hit, things of that nature. So, yeah, I think it definitely, maybe there's a toughness component that is missing a lot from some of these young big men.
Ron Adams, the longtime assistant coach, defensive coordinator for the Warriors, for lack of a better term, he is actually taking a step back this year, and he is also going to be focusing on player development. And you touched on it before, but as far as a guy who's taken a step back from, you know, the day-to-day game planning and focusing on player development, how will his day-to-day change? Is it kind of similar to the other player development coaches, or, you know, I know you don't know the inner workings exactly, but just from a guy who was, you know, almost Kerr's number two or number three man to being player development, how will that change?
Yeah, I hadn't even heard that. That's interesting. But yeah, I would think like Mike Brown, he's probably at his age not much help out on the actual floor moving around. But maybe it's just from a standpoint of, you know, they do have D'Lo's 23. They have Cauley Stein, yeah, who, you know, they really, really need to develop that. You know, maybe, I mean, he's such a brilliant basketball mind that's been around for so, so long. You know, when you have so many guys, even you look at, you know, Glenn Robinson and, you know, Alec Burks, they're still young players who I think have something more to give than they've obviously showed in the league so far. So I would think a guy like Adams, maybe that means, you know, more just figuring out how to develop those guys' skill sets, how to make sure they're doing everything, you know, everything right to fit into the Warrior system and be eventual contributors for them, because, you know, they're going to need it, like I said, especially with Clay down for a lot of the season potentially. They, you know, they're going to need some young guys to step up and take minutes there. They're going to need Cauley Stein to really develop into an elite role big, you know. So, yeah, I would think that probably for somebody like Adams just means, you know, maybe he's the guy that is in Cauley Stein's ear every day about, you know, working on his touch around the basket, working on rolling and finishing, you know, working on the discipline, the little things. You know, that player development is basketball. You know, it's like I said, sometimes it does get kind of differentiated and it's disconnected, but the best staffs, you know, kind of operate one in the same and have everybody on the same page. So I would think that's a good sign if Ron Adams is taking more of a role, you know, on that player development side for sure.
Absolutely. He's actually, you know, been one of the coaches that focuses on player development over the last couple of years. And you mentioned him getting out on the court. It was always funny to see him like trying to D up Damian Jones or Kevon Looney when they were working after practice, you know, little 5'9" Ron Adams going up against them. But yeah, it's got to be a great move to have the guy with, you know, 40 years of NBA experience focusing on player development. One of the last things I wanted to talk to you about was a couple of these guys are former video coordinators. I believe you were a former video coordinator as well, correct?
Yep.
So what is the role of a video coordinator? And then I also want to know, does it help with just deeper understanding of the game and breaking down film for when they might move on to a coaching spot? So because you spent so much time doing the film breakdown?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that's, you know, it's the best way today for anybody really to get their foot in the door in basketball is to start in the film room. And, you know, that's how Eric Spoelstra started, Vogel, Budenholzer, Mike Brown, you know, all those guys. It's a huge segue to coaching. And, you know, the reason is because you really are poring over the film every single day. You're at least when you're the head video coordinator, in all the coaches' meetings, in there at halftime, pregame, post game, you know, I tell people it was like getting an MBA in basketball. You know, you just get to really, you know, pore over the game plan, hear every single adjustment the coaches make, get to understand the game, you know, from their incredible perspective and all their 30 something years of experience in basketball. So, you know, yeah, those guys are definitely workers, grinders. You have to work incredibly hard in that room. And, you know, your job is pretty much to watch basketball all day and be on the court and just be around the team constantly. So, yeah, I mean, I from having been there, you know, definitely have the utmost respect for guys that started in the video room. And, you know, they definitely have a great understanding of basketball if they've, you know, worked in a video NBA video room for a few seasons, for sure.
One of the last things I wanted to get to is they also made, the Warriors also made a bunch of moves in the front office. None of them too crazy. More promotions. Mike Dunleavy Jr. is assistant GM. Kirk Lacob is executive vice president of basketball ops. You know, a lot of titles being thrown around. I know you didn't spend time in the front office, but you still were with organizations and close enough to kind of see it. Bob Myers this offseason at some, you know, at the rookie press conference just looked exhausted. And what we found out was he basically was the only person fielding calls for the front office. Like, he was doing everything. So does it sound like these moves are more just kind of building his infrastructure, finding people that can do some of the things that, so he doesn't have to carry 100% of the load?
I would hope so. I mean, you definitely need to have a big staff in today's NBA. And, you know, you look at, I mean, the Spurs have a front office of like hundreds of people all around the world. You know, every summer league, I don't know if this is mainstream knowledge, people know this, but they actually fly and pay for every single intern, front office employee. So they end up having like 200 something people at summer league. So that was always pretty striking for me. But yeah, I forgot that I did see, was Mike Dunleavy, was he with the organization last year?
He was a scout last year. He was a area scout, I believe. And then this year moved up to assistant GM.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, guys like that are kind of NBA lifers and that, you know, I'm sure learned a little bit more about the front office side and the cap and all that, you know, in past year or so with the Warriors. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, ultimately the GM's only as good as the staff around him and needs to have really good staff. So I would hope they're not working Bob Myers to the exhaustion. I would hope he has some good people around him. And certainly, you know, Dunleavy is a, you know, obviously a lifer and a guy that gets it. And I would think, you know, has a pretty good eye for evaluating talent and, you know, knowing the game pretty well. So definitely encouraging when you see a name like that getting hired.
I think this is like my third last question, but I mean it this time. Part of the moves was Zaza Pachulia was also hired as a consultant, and he's going to be have his toe in everything, kind of see what he wants to do, whether it's, you know, I'm sure we'll see him out on the court with some of the guys after practice at times or work in front office or doing, you know, community outreach, et cetera. In your experience, is there an avenue, a position that fits former players better, or is it really just to each their own? You know, it depends on the player's personality, and that's where, you know, that's what will lead them to front office or coaching, et cetera.
Yeah, I think it really depends on, you know, how hard they're willing to work post-playing. you know, a lot of those guys, obviously they worked really hard as players, and it's a tremendous physical toll on your body. But, you know, to be fair, like, players, even if they show up at 9 a.m. on a practice day, you know, they're probably out of the building by two or three. You know, if you want to be a coach, you're in there at 7 a.m. and you might not leave until 10 or 11 p.m., you know, so it's just, yeah, it's a totally different level of grind and mental grind. And, you know, I think a lot of players, rightfully so, haven't gone through a 15 or 20 year playing career, you know, feel like they've worked enough in their lives to that extent. And, you know, probably don't want to go into coaching and deal with those hours. So, you know, there are some things in the front office that are a little more laid back. There's really laid back if you want to just kind of be around a couple hours a week and just sort of be an ambassador type role that you talked about, that, you know, maybe, you know, Zaza, having the organization ties. Maybe it was something charitable, or maybe he does really want to be a GM someday, you know, work his way up in front offices, and maybe he is really going to be a grinder. So, yeah, I can't really speak to what he wants to do exactly, or, you know, what his outlook on it is, but there's definitely a whole different amount of roles you can have, and really depends on, you know, what you want to do, and ultimately what his aspirations are.
Brian, I've kept you longer than I already should, man. Really appreciate the insight and just breaking down the day-to-day work of coaches in the NBA. It really sheds a different light to it than just saying their title. So we really appreciate it, man.
Awesome. No problem. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you so much to Brian Ohringer for joining us and breaking down the positions of these new development coaches, the video coordinators, the front office moves, all of that. Great insight from him. You guys should go follow him on Twitter at Scout with Brian and YouTube at Scout with Brian. You should also go to his Patreon, sign up for that. For as low as $2, you guys get incredible content that you can get nowhere else. It's great for understanding the game. Especially, look, we're all hoops nerds. No one's listening to Locked On Warriors if you're not a hoops nerd. So great for understanding the game, for understanding what makes Draymond so great, how Klay's able to get open when he's running for a mile through 10 different screens. So I suggest you all go check it out. But once again, thank you so much to Brian, and thank you guys so much for listening. I'll be back later this week with more Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.